Or today is November 2nd, year 2008, and it's the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And today we're celebrating the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, not All Souls Day, which normally would be celebrated on this day. The Feast of All Souls Day is transferred to tomorrow on Monday. But being that we're right, this is the month, a special month for our suffering brothers in purgatory. I want to start out this Sunday by speaking about purgatory and our suffering brothers. And it may be split up into two sermons, which I may continue next Sunday. But the first part of the sermon, I want to talk about our Catholic obligation to our suffering brothers. And then I think next Sunday, because I don't think I'm going to have time for this Sunday, I'm going to go into the apologetical proofs about the dogma, the Catholic dogma on purgatory, to refute the Protestants' heresy and also hopefully to convert the Protestants and show them where their bad will is for not acknowledging the existence of purgatory and the need of purgatory. If we don't pray for our suffering brothers in purgatory, we can't be saved. It's as simple as that. You're going to be damned on judgment, that you're not going to be saved. You're doomed. Our Lord says, if you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me who's in need. Charity is to love your brothers even more than your enemies. You got to even love your enemies. But you're supposed to love the brothers even more than your enemies. And that true charity means loving your brothers for the sake of their souls. To do whatever you can to help your brothers, to save their souls. And then also help them in their temporal and corporal needs. Also, which also a lot of times involves helping them save their souls. There's three parts of the church. There's the church triumphant, which is the church in heaven, which consists of Jesus Christ, the Blessed Mother, the angels, and the saints. That's called the church triumphant. Then you have the church militant, which is the Catholic Church on earth, and it consists of all the Catholics on earth throughout the world. Then you have the church suffering, which is our suffering brothers in purgatory, who when they died in a state of grace, but they did not yet complete the punishment due to their sins, their remitted sins, or they also died in venial sins. So purgatory is a place where you get purified before you can go into heaven and look upon the face of God. For nothing defiled shall look upon the face of God. So even though our sins are remitted, we still need to expiate that punishment that was due to the sin. So our brothers in purgatory, one of the dogmas, our Catholic dogma teaches also, that they can no longer help themselves by their own prayers. They're helpless when it comes to helping themselves. They cannot do anything to earn merit for themselves anymore. They died. They have to rely upon our prayers now to help them speed up their expiation so they can get out of purgatory sooner and so that they can be relieved right now while they're in purgatory from their sufferings. So the greatest act of charity we can do to our suffering brothers in purgatory is to pray for them so they can have their pains relieved, expiated, and also have their time lessened that they spend in purgatory so they can become purified quicker. Now, what greater act of mercy could there be than if you saw a brother who's on fire and you can go out there and throw water on him and put that fire out? Who wouldn't do that? Well, that's what you're doing. You're praying for our suffering brothers in purgatory. And it's like that brother who's on fire on earth can't put it out himself. The suffering brothers in purgatory cannot do anything to earn merit for their own good. We have to do that and help them by our prayers on earth. And our prayers on earth help them to get out quicker and send them relief. We're going to show you examples of that. And the Catholic Church is filled with miracles of intercessions where our suffering brothers are coming back upon earth to ask Catholics in the church militant to pray for them and thanking them for those prayers and thanking them because those prayers sped up the time in which if they had to spend 100 years, you can knock it down to 10 years and to 5 years down to 1 year, depending on how much you're praying for our suffering brothers. It's the greatest act of charity you show towards your brothers. It's just like if you saw a brother on earth who needed a place to stay because he's visiting you or something. He has nowhere to stay. And you have room to put him up in your own house and help him and feed him, and you don't do that. Where is the charity and love of God in all of that? You may as well be, you're worse than pagans even. Even pagans on the natural plane will help their own people with a charitable act by sheltering the homeless, feeding the hungry. That's a good thing. That goes to show Catholics even whether they're in a state of grace or not. Because if Catholics are not doing those things, and they think those things are adverse to them, they're covetous, they're overly possessive of their own possessions. They got to watch out for that attitude. That's a seriously mortal sin. That shows you're not really living out your Catholic faith. We read in the Gospel to love one another, to love your brothers. How is it to love your brother if you know he's in need and you don't help him? And you have the means to help him. You know, and also the Catholic brothers are also taught not to infringe upon their brothers' rights neither. There's all kinds of rules in the Catholic Church which involve really common sense when it comes to giving people what they need and people who are being helped not to abuse hospitality. But charity of the highest degree is shown by praying for the poor souls in purgatory. You're helping them, whereas they cannot themselves be helped and earn any more merit, because once you die, all the merit that you earned is already done with. The saints in heaven who go to heaven already have their place in heaven. They can't go no higher and they don't go no lower. And the souls in purgatory, when they die, they have a place already assigned for them in heaven. They will end up in heaven. So they're supremely happy. The suffering souls in purgatory love God infinitely more than we do. Infinitely more than we do. They know how good God is. They see His greatness and holiness, and they see the great ugliness of sin. Because they can no longer sin anymore. They're on the road. They're destined for heaven. And they're much closer to God than we are even. But we can help them with our prayers. The other dogma in purgatory is that, yes, they're in purgatory, and that doesn't mean they're not praying and their prayers can't help anyone. Their prayers can help us, even though they cannot help themselves anymore. Just like the saints in heaven pray for us and intercede for us. But they can no longer do anything to gain more merit to get a higher place in heaven, a higher mansion. Just like in purgatory. They can't do anything by their own prayers to alleviate the sufferings. They can't gain merit for themselves. But they could for us. They could gain merit for us. They can pray for us. They can even offer up some of their sufferings for us. And they're praying for us right now on earth. Some of the saints even said some of the greatest powerful prayers are from our brothers in purgatory who pray for us upon earth. Right now at this very moment. To pretend that they're just down there not doing any prayers or they can't help anybody, where's God's fraternal charity and all of that? So the suffering brothers certainly are praying for us upon earth. And they can pray for me, they can pray for all of us, they can pray for what we're praying for, they can pray for the conversion of sinners. And God uses those prayers for other people. But they cannot pray for their own selves to gain any merit. That's where we come in. You see this perfect bond of charity that God has? The saints pray for us and intercede for us, but the saints don't need our prayers. They don't. We can't help the saints. Oh, they can only help us. There's nothing more we can give the saints. They don't need any more help. They're in heaven. They already have their reward. But they can help us by their prayers and by their intercessions. And we, by our prayers, can help not only our suffering brothers in purgatory, but we help our Catholic brothers on earth, and we help all the non-Catholics throughout the whole world. Our job is to pray for the salvation of all men, to go out there and pray that God will give all men the graces to be saved. We know all men aren't going to be saved, and most go to hell, but we do want all men to be saved. And it's our job to pray for the non-Catholics throughout this whole world, in the Catholic Church, to get them graces so they can come into the Church. And this bond of charity continues down in purgatory, because our suffering brothers in purgatory can pray for us upon earth, and they can even pray for the conversion of non-Catholics, and so that those prayers will be of great benefit. God even made it clear to certain saints when they were praying to even the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, at certain times He says, now I'm not going to give you what you want through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary or St. Joseph or St. Francis. I now want you to ask the poor souls. And so what they could not obtain by other saints, they obtained by prayers, asking the poor souls in purgatory to pray for them. And boy, what graces. I've done that myself several times. The suffering brothers in purgatory have helped me tremendously and quickly. There's many teachings on that that we can go into and I can show you from testimonies of saints and all that. Now we have the other aspect which we're going to talk about with Catholics. The first motive you want to be in a state of grace is so you can save your soul when you die. If you're in mortal sin, you might die and go right to hell in mortal sin. So Catholics want to be in a state of grace, which means free from all mortal sins. And in a state of grace, first for their own soul and their own good. But also, if you want to help our suffering brothers in purgatory, Catholics cannot do that unless they're in a state of grace. When a Catholic's in mortal sin, he's on the road to hell. And his prayers cannot help anyone else but himself. Only himself they can help, but no one else. He loses all the merit he had before that. He's now on the road to hell. All his prayers that if he's offering prayers for brothers or for suffering souls, he cannot help them, are useless. The only good his prayers are is for his own soul. He can pray for himself and his own soul, and that's what he needs to do. But when you're in mortal sin as a Catholic, your prayers cannot help anyone else. That's the teaching of the Church. That's why the Catholic Church teaches about going to confession. Make sure you're in a state of grace. So this is another part of the Catholic teaching, that when a Catholic's in mortal sin, his prayers can only help himself. And other Catholics who are in a state of grace can help their Catholic brothers who are in mortal sin by praying for them. Now, maybe a Catholic has a secret mortal sin he doesn't know about. He's still in mortal sin. And even though he thinks his prayers are helping others, they're not. But they're still helping them himself. And us Catholics, when we pray for all our Catholic brothers, that includes even those who are in mortal sin and don't know it, and those who are in mortal sin and who do know it, and those who are in a state of grace, so that they stay in a state of grace. So this is another incentive, and it's a secondary incentive for Catholics to be in a state of grace, because your prayers can't help nobody else unless you get in a state of grace, and then you can help other people with your prayers. It's beautiful. You can see the fraternal bond of charity in which God has the angels and the saints, these rational creatures, helping one another. This is what we teach about this bond of charity. Somewhere Christ says, if you see one of your brothers in need and you do not help him and he's helpless, that means you didn't help me. He says you go to the left, you're a goat. You know, think about this. This is scary. If you had a Catholic brother really that needs a place to stay and he's out on the side of the road and you have a place for him, God's not asking you to totally inconvenience yourself, but you have a place and it's just saying and you don't want him to stay in your place or help him. No. In justice of civil law and even church law doesn't require that you have to. The rich man didn't have to give Lazarus his money according to civil law. Even according to church law, she respects private property. An act of mercy means giving somebody something you don't have to. It's an act of charity. But Jesus said if you don't do that act of charity, you go to hell for it. The church teaches, in a sense, it is part of justice. God's higher justice, that you do owe charity to your brother. Well, it does. If we see our brothers in need, when we do not help them, when we have the means to help them, just know you've committed a mortal sin if you ever thought that in your heart. That's like murdering your brother. That's a goat on the left. Same thing applies when you don't pray for the suffering brothers in purgatory. If you don't pray for the suffering brothers in purgatory, you're damned on judgment day. You will not be saved. Now, that's why in our daily prayer life with the brothers here, you notice we were reading about November is a special month for the suffering souls in purgatory, so we have extra prayers, and for the people that are listening out there, we pray the 30-day prayers, one for each day in November for our suffering brothers in purgatory, and the last 9 days, we pray the 9-day novena for the holy souls in purgatory for their benefit, and then we ask them to pray for us to make a good Advent, because Advent is like Lent. It is like Lent. We have one meal a day and we give up many things and we'll talk about that when the time comes. But I'm making another point here. A lot of times they'll say All Souls Month is for a lot of these Catholics that were a little bit remiss in their duty in the past year and praying for the suffering souls. But if anybody follows the rule I laid out for Mary's Little Remnant, you are praying every day abundantly and sufficiently for the suffering brothers every day, even in the divine office, it's in there. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. And if you're working out there and you're doing your 3 daily prayers, you're praying for them twice or 3 times a day, the divine offices have it in there, and we have extra prayers we added on the end of that, so that we're praying every day, every day, every day. There's not one day that we don't pray for the suffering brothers. That's why if you follow a good religious rule, everything is covered. You're getting all your prayers in. You're doing the mortifications. And each religious rule is set for several different lifestyles and vocations. But we look at November as getting an extra overabundance of graces because we're sufficiently praying. I know those brothers, I don't want it to be said about us that we look back in the past year and say, well, I really wasn't praying well enough for our suffering brothers. Well, that could happen and you could make up for it in November, but I want it to be, which is what God wants it to be and what the rule is, that we must even pray during the year, throughout the whole year, sufficiently for the suffering souls in purgatory. All the brothers know that special ending I added to the divine office, I put there, and it has several different petitions to pray for our suffering brothers in purgatory. And we can't even imagine the benefit they get from our prayers. It really is. Just picture, brothers, if you were on fire, really burning, and somebody threw cold water on you and soothed all the pain. That's really what it's like. Really, truly, you can't see it because it's happening outside of your carnal eyes, but it really is happening in purgatory, which is in the abodes of hell. Purgatory is parallel to the hell of the damned, and it runs parallel to, and it has different levels. And the more sin you need to be expiated because of punishment due to sin, or the more venial sins you committed, the deeper in purgatory you are, and the more pain you suffer. Now, I want to talk about an example about how our prayers help the suffering brothers in purgatory. I'm going to give one example. Again, I'm going to read from the Little Flowers of St. Francis, from one of our generals in Mary's Little Remnant, Father Francis of Assisi, one of the greatest saints in heaven. Father Francis had many brothers in his order that were very holy. As time went on, of course, like all orders, you started to get some rotten people. Even within his own lifetime, he had some bad brothers entering in there. But we're going to talk about some of his holy brothers here, and about how it relates to purgatory from the Little Flowers of St. Francis. And this is listed here as chapter 43, but it might not really be that. There's different versions. But the title is How Brother Conrad of Ophida Converted a Young Brother Who Was a Stumbling Block to Other Brothers. And how after death his soul appeared to Brother Conrad, begging him to pray for him, and how through his prayer he was delivered from the great pains of purgatory. The life of the said Brother Conrad of Ophida, the great advocate of evangelical poverty and of the rule of St. Francis, was so exemplary and so meritorious in the sight of God that Christ, the Blessed One, honored him with many miracles, not only after death, but likewise during his life. Amongst others, being once on a visit to the convent of Ophida, the brothers begged him, for the love of God and of holy charity, to reprove a young brother in the said convent, whose conduct was so puerile and disordered, and his manner so dissolute, that he distracted all the brethren, both young and old, at divine office, and cared little or nothing for any of the observances of religious life. At the request of the brothers, and out of compassion for the said young man, Brother Conrad called him to him one day, and reproved him with so much charity that a complete change took place in his heart, and the said young man, putting off his former childish way of life, became so obedient, so meek, so devout, so anxious to do what was right, so ready to serve others, and so zealous in the practice of every virtue, that the brethren, to whom he had hitherto been a stumbling block, found in him much comfort and satisfaction, so that they loved him dearly. Shortly after his conversion, it pleased God to take him out of the world, and his death caused great sorrow to the brethren. A few days after his soul had left the body, it appeared to Brother Conrad as he was in prayer before the altar of the convent, devoutly saluting him as his father. On Brother Conrad asking who he was, he answered, "I am the soul of the young brother who died a few days ago." Said Brother Conrad to him, "My beloved son, how is it with thee?" And the soul answered, "By the grace of God and through thy teaching, I have cause to be thankful, for I am not damned. But because of certain sins of which I had not time to repent, while I was in the world, I am suffering the extremest pain of purgatory. And I pray thee, Father, as thou hast compassion on me when living, to help me now by thy prayers, and save for me some potters," that's our fathers, "for thy prayers are most acceptable to God." Then Brother Conrad, continuing his devotions, said for him a potter with a requiem eternum, eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. And one our Father followed by that. At this the soul said, "Holy Father, I am greatly refreshed already, and I pray thee to repeat the prayer for me." Brother Conrad did as he had was begged, and the soul said again, "As thou prayest for me, my sufferings are relieved. Wherefore I implore thee, cease not to pray for me." Then Brother Conrad, seeing that the soul of the young man was relieved by his prayers, set for his intention 100 potters, and when they were finished, the soul said to him, "I thank thee, dearest Father, in the name of God, for thy great charity towards me. Through thy prayers I have been delivered from the pains of purgatory and am going to heaven." And with this the soul departed. Brother Conrad, in order to comfort and console the brethren, related to them the vision. And on this wise the soul of the young brother went to heaven through the merits of Brother Conrad. Beautiful. That says it all. That teaches about the whole dogma of purgatory, the charity, the power that our prayers have when we're in a state of grace to help our suffering brothers. 1 potter. 100 potters delivered them from purgatory. That's why, brothers, if you look at that prayer I composed at the end of our office, along with the office itself, because Holy Mother Church includes it in her own prayers, you are sufficiently praying your daily prayers for purgatory. We do it every day and we don't cease. And in November, we even add on top of it. And it's not a lot. The prayers that I give the brothers to pray according to their vocation. The brothers that are working full time have less prayers. The ones like us who don't do that physical labor but more spiritual labor, we pray more prayers. But if you follow whatever the rule is, equally you're gaining benefit. Equally helping the souls as we are who are making a few more prayers because we have more time to do it. And guess what, brothers? Even those who have to go out and physically work, offer it up to the cross. Not only will it gain you grace and merit and help your brothers and help for conversions and help to do remit some of the penalties you do to your sins, you're helping the suffering brothers in purgatory. Just think of this. Keep this in mind, how important this is. And also, how important it is for you to pray for everybody in the world right now who is outside the Catholic Church, that your prayers are the things that God's going to use to make His grace available through Mary to come down and help them. St. Paul says many times to the brothers, pray for me. Brother, will you pray for me? St. Paul would be foolish to ask another brother to pray for him if he didn't think those prayers could help him. That refutes Protestants alone. I use that example all the time because Protestants do admit you can pray for one another. But that does not fit with their heresies in which they believe that Jesus is the only mediator and nobody can earn any merit or do any good for anyone else. Jesus does it all, in other words. So then why does a Protestant ask another brother to pray for him if those prayers cannot help that brother? And if those prayers can't help that brother, then you must admit that that brother mediated for him before Christ and gained him grace and help from God. You understand? Next week we're going to refute the Protestants on this issue. This week I'm talking about the brother's obligation, about praying for the suffering brothers in purgatory, and I'm going to end it with speaking about the condition of our brothers in purgatory. How they love God so much more than we do, we cannot comprehend it because they're already saved. They can no longer sin. They're being purified. And they understand the ugliness of sin. And so think about how powerful their prayers are to help us. God inspires the soul in purgatory with so ardent a movement of devoted love that it would be sufficient to annihilate her were she not immortal. Illuminated and inflamed by that pure charity, the more she loves God, the more she detests the least stain that displeases Him, the least hindrance that prevents her union with Him. Thus, if she could find another purgatory more terrible than the one to which she is condemned, that soul would plunge herself therein, impelled by the impetuosity of the love which exists between God and herself, in order that she may be sooner delivered from all that separates her from the sovereign good. She goes, if I got to suffer even more to get to heaven quicker, send me to that level to burn out all my sin because I want to go to God now. I want to go to God as quick as possible. And if that means I got to go deeper, if that means you got to turn the temperature up in the fire 100 degrees, but I'm going to get out tomorrow instead of staying for 10 more years, turn it up 100 degrees. Because they hate sin so much. They hate it. So part of their suffering is knowing how ugly sin is, knowing the sins they got to still expiate, and loving God so much and not being able to get into heaven and see Him yet. That's a great suffering. So that they would say, like, Lord, if I want to get there as soon as possible, if it means going, suffering more, let me suffer more. But lo and behold, we can offer our prayers for them, and they don't have to suffer more. We can not only alleviate their suffering, we can speed up their time to see God. These souls are intimately united to the will of God, and so completely transformed into it that they are always satisfied with His holy ordinances. The souls in purgatory no longer will anything than what God wills. They receive with perfect submission all that God gives them. And neither pleasure, nor contentment, nor pain can ever again make them think of themselves. O soul afflicted and yet contented, these pains are intolerable, and yet they are endured. Why are they not understood by those here below who have not the courage to carry their cross? In spite of all their suffering, they're destined for heaven and they know it. Even I say to the brothers on earth, when Jesus tells us to carry the cross, and you look at the martyrs when they're having their flesh peeled off and their bones broken and they're being racked and they're being pierced and they're being burnt with hot irons, they're rejoicing. How can anybody but a true Catholic express that and understand that, other than Jesus Christ gives us the grace to understand that the way to the cross is the only way to heaven. That if there's times in this life when we're going to have to suffer and we're required to suffer. And when you embrace it wholeheartedly for the love of God and for the sake of the cross, as only Catholics can do, it becomes sweet and it becomes something that even when you've gone through it, the rewards that come out afterwards are innumerable and you get used to that. And you understand that through that suffering, you're purging your own sins. You're preserving yourself so you can stand up stronger against the devil. So how is it that you can suffer and say you're rejoicing at the same time? Only a true Catholic, a good Catholic can say that. A good Catholic can say that, and truly so. How could they be suffering so greatly in purgatory and at the same time being so in love with God and so happy? Because they know that the end of the road and everything is for their own good. And they know they deserve it for their sins. All right. So the suffering brothers in purgatory are destined for heaven. They need our help. They want to get out of there as soon as possible. Our prayers can help them do that. And at the same time, they love us with a love greater than we love them. They're purer than we are. They're closer to God than we are. They understand what true charity means. They're more than willing. But if you don't ask them for their help, and I really believe this also, God's not going to allow them to help you. Ask them. Go ahead and ask them. If you look in our prayer book, Mary's Little Prayer Book, we have a special prayer. We're actually speaking to our suffering brothers in purgatory. This is a beautiful prayer because you're speaking to us. You can speak to them. God will let them hear you. Of course. Every now and then he'll let them come up and talk to you. But I want to talk about, here it is, prayer to the faithfully departed when you're praying to the suffering brother in purgatory. Here, it goes like this. Now we're talking to our suffering brothers. Let's make this a prayer as we do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O most afflicted and unrepenting souls, may Jesus Christ have mercy upon you, who for you was crucified and died, and may he refresh you in your sufferings by the sprinkling of his precious blood. I commend you to that exceeding love which drew down the Son of God from heaven and constrained him to a most bitter death on earth, that in that amazing compassion wherewith he entered into and took upon himself all the afflictions of the afflicted, he may have compassion on you. And for your full solace and refreshment, I offer you all that filial love which the same Jesus Christ felt towards the Father in his divinity and towards Mary in his humanity. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and the perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these prayers that you see in Mary's little prayer book, I pray almost all of these on Friday. That's my Friday, along with the ones we already do every day. You see, so Friday is my special day every Friday of the year where I pray. I'll just mention it to you so you may know. That's my Friday special prayers. I ask for the Blessed Mother to intercede for the suffering brothers under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And brothers, every time you receive spiritual communion, because we don't have a priest now, and every day you should, when you do that, if you would have had Mass and you would have received, always include prayers for the suffering brothers, as I always do. That's another time when you can pray for them every day. But these prayers here from Mary's Little Prayer Book I do once a week on Friday. And it's the petition prayer for the poor souls, the offering of the Passion of Christ for the faithful departed, the Lord's Prayer for the faithful departed, prayer for the faithful departed, and the second prayer for the faithful departed. I pray that is once a week on Friday for the souls. But just giving an idea on how important it is to pray for the suffering souls and how much they can even help you upon earth. And then next week, if everything goes according to schedule and something else doesn't come up, I'll be talking about the dogma purgatory in refutation of the Protestant heresy that denies that dogma. First of all, strengthen us to be able to defend the dogma when we need to, and to even hopefully convert the Protestants out there and show them how much bad will they have right now until they can look at these things. I'm going to shove it in their face. I'm going to show them where they're wrong. I'm going to show them where they should know they're wrong, even by their own false Bibles. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.